Amen and amen. All right, before we start, Brother Joe, check your PM there, my brother. I don't know if you got it. I don't know if it's anybody text me here or something here. No, I don't see no texting. Oh, okay, good. Thanks. Thanks, bro. Okay, now. This is sad, but I got to say, and I'm not going to, I'm hoping I'm not the only one on the mic on this one, but some may assume that we're beating a dead horse here, but when the people of God are in danger, it is our duty to warn them. As a matter of fact, in Review and Herald, Book 1, page 372, October 16th, 1883, it says, I will not shun to declare the whole counsel of God. Unpleasant as it may be, I must warn, reprove, rebuke, as God bids me, whether the carnal heart will accept or reject the words of warning. And then she says, for 40 years, Satan has made the most determined efforts to cut off this testimony from the church, but it has continued from year to year to warn the erring, to unmask the deceiver, to encourage the desponding. My trust is in God. I have teamed not to be surprised at opposition. I don't know why she says, oh, it's learned. I wonder if that's, I have learned not to be, because, you know, they, when it's photocopied, because the L is changed to a T, the M was changed to an M. So it said, I have teamed. I think it's, I have learned not to be surprised at opposition in any form almost any source. Or from almost any source. Let me reread that one sentence. I have learned not to be surprised at opposition in any form or from almost any source. I expect to be betrayed, as was my master, by professed friends. And you remember what David said with the one that lifted up his heel against him and he broke bread with that man? This has been going on in the Seventh-day Remnant movement, and then Fran and I have seen it happening before we started keeping Sabbath for 40 years. Friends, relatives, loved ones have come against us simply because of our faith. And she was going to be no exception to it, because Jesus said we're all going to be persecuted because he was persecuted. The truth we preach is going to be slandered, twisted, or whatever. I'll want to get there. So, yeah. Amen, Jesse. I'll do it. I've only got a couple. I think we got a couple other brothers that might chime in, and they have some too. But I heard from a brother. I should have put that one in. Sorry. But before I get into all this, I just heard from a brother that my most recent blog, my blog entry that I put up yesterday, that proves the desire of ages, the 1888 and the 1911 Great Controversy, that blog that proves them to be evil, wicked, not of God, and of Satan, is actually being attacked by those that left the church recently. And this is the reason we got to do this. But the truth is, the only way they can attack it is to twist scripture way out of context, to hide the truth that both books are demonic, because the truth in this, the way it's presented from scripture and in the original writings, is so blunt. There's no other way to deny it other than to twist scripture or Ellen White's writings. They may think, and I'm sure they do, because people do this for this reason, I guess, but they may think I posted that blog entry yesterday to prove them wrong, but no. I walk away from people that deny Jesus in Matthew 18 or preach false doctrines or fanaticisms. No, I'm done. I can't preach to them anymore. I could just pray for them. You got to treat them like the heathen and the publican. And I could prove it. I post to help the obedient people of God to see the truth. I'm not going to debate with those that deny Jesus as Lord. For to debate is to sin. I posted what I did on my blog for the exact same reason. I posted well over a dozen videos, most of them over 5 years old, and the earliest one is 1 year old. Okay? Long ago, long before any of this ever happened, on my YouTube channel, about the edited books being demonic. And for those of you that want proof, I'll put a link in the room. The YouTube channel right there. That's the playlist to 21 videos. And most of them, I think like 5 or 6 of them, are just exposing the pastors in the SDA church and how they were bound to do the things they did. The rest of them are showing the dangers of the edited books. And so we as Christians are to do as obedient Christians are to do. We are not to debate with sinners. I didn't post the blog yesterday for anybody that left the church, no. Hopefully they do read it and they come back into the fold. Yeah, of course, but I'm not preaching for them anymore. I can't. If they happen by, as I know they do, because all of them, there's people that left us 10, 15, 20 years ago that still listen to try to figure out a way to throw a dig at us. It's very odd, but very, very odd. In any event, it is so sad, but once again, we must declare such a warning as this. But Jesus did say we will suffer persecution till the end. And so we have many times in the last 40 years suffered persecution. And as expected, the truth we proclaim in doctrine, prophecy, and even easy-to-see confirmed facts regarding the dangers of the edited SOP books is once again coming under attack by those that left the church in sin. And for those seeing how they sinned, those that want to see how they sinned, just go to the sin page on the website. It's just that simple. Put it in the room. There it is. remedygod.org/sin.htm. Now, sadly, after they left the church, some still seek them out. In defiance to Christ's command in Matthew 18, and there's nothing we can do about that. That just happens. That's why Jesus wrote or shared Matthew 18 with his own lips, verses 15 to 17. It was to give us instruction on how to handle it. We handled it. It's done. In fact, we just lost a brother who openly denied Jesus on Matthew 18 2 weeks ago. And all we can do is pray. But we need to understand that if you can't obey Jesus on something as simple as Matthew 18, or dress reform, or even diet, then when the mark of the beast is enforced in the next few years, you're going to be marked by Rome and never sealed by God. If you can't handle it now when it's legal to do so, and it's piddly compared to what we're looking at, it's going to be, you know, not good for those that, thanks, Joe. The password and the username is in the stream there for those of you that want to see that sin page. Because the sin page is only for the church family, and so only the church family is, you know, listening in anyway. So we don't do it like the 1 Timothy 5 thing where we expose pastors. That page is open to the public. We don't need a password on that. That one's been on there for years. And so, but anyway, curiosity, and I got to say this because this is where we're all being tested. You got to know that curiosity doesn't only kill cats. For those that may see no sin in watching videos or reading studies from those that were biblically cast out in a direct obedience to Jesus Christ in Matthew 18, you also need to know that when Satan appears on TV in the coming days, claiming to be Jesus, your curiosity will be easily manipulated into thinking it's okay to check out the TV broadcast. And then, and once done, you'll be denying Christ, who said, don't go there. You will also be marked by Rome as their eternal victim when Satan moves upon you through that demonic broadcast, because you got to know, even though he's on the broadcast far away, he's got demons all over the place sitting right next to you when you obey him over Christ. And who cares what Satan does? We're headed to heaven, brothers and sisters. We're going to see things in heaven that nothing that Satan does on earth can compare. And so, you know, I don't need to see his fall at all. I'd rather see the good stuff. So those that have left the church in sin have denied Jesus Christ as Lord before the Holy Spirit, before the Father in heaven, and before Jesus himself, as well as all his church, because we obeyed Matthew 18. And so Satan has taken hold of them, and their faith has become apostate. Those with eyes that see know that this is true. Their confusion has even moved them to deny Jesus Christ again, and not only join with apostates by embracing the Seventh-day Adventist name as their own, the books they once personally, with their own lips and type, you know, in letters or tracts or whatever they wrote in the years past, they personally declared themselves to be dangerous, have suddenly become truth to them, to the point they are now promoting the books that Ellen White herself prophesied would be changed when she said the following. I'll put it in the room here, and I'll read it. Oops. It's amazing. It's just like everybody that's left the church before says, look, if you continue on in this path, you're going to believe all sorts of crazy things. It's happening again, brothers and sisters. It's happening. And the sad thing is, they don't even realize what I just said. They think that, yeah, he's talking out of his head to try to defend himself. No, I'm done preaching to them. I can only pray for them. Nothing else I can do for you. I'm doing this for the church family. I love the babes in this church, as well as the theologians. You know, from the babe to the theologian, we got to protect the pulpit. That's our duty. Sister White did it for 40 years. Well, probably longer, because I don't remember when that thing was written. She died in 15, so I don't know. Anyway, it says, and this is what she said with her own lips, our religion would be changed. The fundamental principles that have sustained the work for the last 50 years would be accounted as error. A new organization would be established. Now listen to what she says. But those that are left are numbered declare that she is a prophet, because they're saying the edited books are okay now too, right? Well, here you go. It says books of a new order would be written, and a system of intellectual philosophy would be introduced. Remember earlier when I said they're sophists or philosophers? The basic definition of a sophist or a philosopher or philosophy is to present truth in such a way that it looks true, but it's actually a lie. Like the Jesus isn't God, the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, or spices or apostles, you know, all these strange fanaticisms. They'll try to present them in as beautiful a way as they can. You know, that's called Babylonianism, you know, to mix truth with error, but it's also called philosophy. And so as also expected, they are even asking for donations now, because God will not bless their efforts. Obedient Christians follow Paul's example and never, ever ask for donations. Ever. Now keep in mind, these are the same men that left us that still declare eating certain spices will land you in hellfire. The image of the beast is not alive, even though it was declared to be alive in 1901 by A.T. Jones, and I'm not even going to get into what Jeremiah said in his day. But go to the image of the beast page on my website, and you'll see everything you need to see. There's going to be a new addition to that, too. One of the brothers in the faith was given utterance, and it's going to be on the page, too. But I'm probably going to put it there anonymously so as to not cause temptation to come against that young brother. And so, But yeah, A.T. Jones said in 1901 that the image of the beast was alive, but all of a sudden it's not. And they also believe there are apostles living today, as well as they have lost their once clear understanding of the one hour with the beast. And so those that follow their number, yeah, they're going to be they're going to wake up one morning and look in the mirror and go, wow, where do these boils come from? If they don't repent. And I say that as a warning out to this church family. We have to stay loyal to Christ. the God of heaven, only knows what lie they will embrace next. But all this is to be expected when you openly deny Jesus as Lord, as they did before many witnesses, as the sin page confirmed, wherein their own emails are displayed in admitting they refuse to repent. When their free will demands Jesus leave their side, as the Seventh-day Adventist Church demanded in 1888, they too fall victim of satanic delusion to believe strange things. They can't possibly think they're special in that way where God is going to turn his face from them and not spank them where they need to be spanked. Plus, even though none of them are ordained and never will be ordained of God, unless they truly repent and are called of him in the biblical manner, they are actually acting as if they are ordained to anyone they can get to join them in denying Christ. And the only way they can get them to join them is to deny Christ if they're coming from the SDR church, because any other church, they don't know any better. They might join them. Doesn't matter. But if they get people to come in from the SDR church, the only way to get them to come in from here is to get a brother or a sister in this church to deny Jesus Christ point blank in regards to Matthew 18. That's the only way. Because we didn't flaunt it. One witness came before them declaring them in sin. They ignored it. Two or three witnesses came to them in sin. They ignored it. And so we brought them before the entire church family. And because we're on a round world and not everybody could be in the room at the same time because of the way, you know, time zones are, we presented it before the entire church family and they denied us again. And to make it even easier to show everybody we did everything we could, we even put their denial in print on the sin page. So we've done everything Christ said to do, and this is what upset them. And the amazing thing is, this may seem, Ellen White prophesied that they would do this back in 1907. Check this out. I'll put it in the room. And then Pastor Alvin is going to share another one that he found as well in a few moments. But he found one that sounds just like this one, but a little bit different terminology. Somebody's going to have to help me with the AUCR thing on that, but it's March 18, 1907, paragraph 7. So I didn't have time to look up what AUCR looks like or what it, because I cut my teeth on scripture. I was never SDA, so I never, I'm trying to memorize these anagrams, I guess you can call them. And then, so she says this, brethren, the angels of God are in our world, and satanic agencies are here also. I am permitted to see the inclination of certain ones to follow their own straits, their own strong straits of character. Seriously, listen to this. For those of you especially that know these people personally that left, think about this. You know their characters. You love them. You remember them. I love them. I remember them. It's uncanny how accurate she is here. She goes, if they refuse to yoke up, let me backtrack a little bit. I am permitted to see the inclination of certain ones to follow their own strong traits of character. If they refuse to yoke up with others who have had a long experience in the work, they will become blinded by self-confidence, not discerning between false and true. It is not safe that such ones should stand in the position of leaders to follow their own judgment and plans. You know, that reminds me of, I was talking about this earlier. There's people out there that think they can go to McDonald's, get a job, and demand to be CEO on day one. It's the same thing with these people. They find the truth in Jesus, and all of a sudden they got to get on that pulpit. They have not alone experience in the work. They're not called yet, if they're ever going to be called. Well, at this point, they'll never be called unless they repent. There's just no way the Lord's going to sanction sin. He's just not going to do it. And again, like I said earlier, I have nearly 24 videos located on YouTube proving how dangerous the edited SDA books are, as well as how evil the church is, of which they are now claiming to be their church name. I also, let me put this in the room. Hold on, let me get this link for you. Oh, thanks, Brother Alvin. Australian Union Conference Record, AUCR. There's a mouthful. All right, so where did I leave off here? Okay, now I also have, click that link on the website, And you're going to have to email me if you want the link, because I'm not going to say all this over WCPR, because it, unless you got a pen handy, you're not going to be able to remember it all. I also have a Vern Bates study on the site in PDF format, and you click that link and you'll see it now. If you read this, and I hope everybody does, because you'll never have to deal with this problem again if you do, and you can see when you read this how Satan has confused those poor souls that left our church. And there's another study he did, by the way. I don't have the PDF on that one, but you can get it at vbates.com. You know, Victor, B-A-T, you know, like vernbates.com, or vbates.com. It's called A Study of the 1884 Great Controversy Changes. These are powerful studies. He got kicked out of the SDA church for this in the 50s. He was a coal porter in the 50s. And then he started selling the books to these old folks that were SDA for their life. And I guess some old man or old woman or a couple stopped him one day and says, "Brother, why are you selling these books?" And I go, he goes, "What do you mean? These books are from hell." And I go, "Whoa." He goes, "No, Ellen White, no, she never wrote these." In other words, they brought him their copies of her original books and showed him, and these guys had to have been blessed, showed him the differences between the two. And from that day forward, he started collecting as many of the original books as he can get his hands on. And then he photocopied them, and that's where vbates.com was formed later on when the internet came. He sells the books for what it costs to print them. No markup, nothing. And they're photocopied. So if you got the book from an old couple that would underline things in the book, well, you're going to see all the underlinings, because he's not going to give you edited books. They're powerful. And keep in mind that not all the changes are easy to find in some of the SDA compilations with their false statements in their books that have the dates on them that were before Sister White died, to make it appear as if she said it, when in fact no quotes were never said by her. Vern also exposed as well in the PDF that those that left our church never read it. In fact, this book and all it entails is why those lost souls attacked Vern now, just like, you know, Judas Iscariot. Remember him? He made a few videos attacking another guy that left the church some years ago. You know, the pedophile? He got caught committing adultery with a 12-year-old. Yeah. In the Philippines, he's gone. He left, and he's still making good. He's attacking us and stuff, but he attacked Vern. They know they can do that because he's dead. Vern died a couple of years ago. He cannot respond to their falsehoods, but this is how easy it is that you can expose their wicked agenda all on your own. And we got to be prepared to do this kind of thing, brothers and sisters. This is another reason why we got to study the scriptures as well, because people are going to twist the Bible right in front of you to try to get you the mark of the beast in the coming days. And they'll even use Sister White's writings to get you away from the Bible or just away from the truth. In any way, shape, or form, we've got to be prepared on both ends. So just go to that link and read his study that I put in the room and make special note that Vern doesn't speak much in that book at all. He doesn't need to. He just lets the truth expose the lies all on its own. It's just that easy. This is why they keep making their videos, because they're trying to flood the world and try to let people say, no, just share the truth and just drop it, walk away. The people with eyes that see are going to know the difference. I mean, Vern does this by sharing what the original books say, and then he shows what the books that were edited after the Jesuits infiltrated the Seventh-day Adventist Church say now. All you got to do is use your brain. It's just that simple. Anybody can see when you look on one page it says ABC, and you look on the other book and it says GDF or something. It's totally different. But like they did with the NIV and the King James. They twisted. They took out thousands of verses in the King James and made an NIV. Same thing with Sister White's writings. She said they're going to be books of a new order. And so it appears those that are promoting the Vatican books never bothered to read Vern's study at all. And if they did, their prejudice against the truth has blinded them. For to deny Christ is to be blinded when it comes to doctrine and prophecy, because the only way to understand prophecy or doctrine is to obey to God that wrote it. So the fact they were cast from the church, as per Matthew 18, proves they are no longer, well, for the least coin of the phrase, they're no longer obedient Christians. Many would say they're not even Christian. When you deny Christ so openly like that, yeah, you're not a Christian. you're an Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 type. You're going to believe what you want to believe, and you just call them Christians to take away their shame. That's the kind of Christians they are now. Had they read that book, they never would have said what they did, because they have now outed themselves as boldly unlearned. Or as a brother in the faith said recently, a few months ago, they are exposed as those that do very sloppy research. You know who I'm talking about, brother? Amen, I agree with you still. So, they will use the info they find. And the reason that the sloppy research is, and you know, and you can see it all the time, the people that attack Ellen White all over the world, and you look at what they're saying, and then you say, that's sloppy research. Just read a couple of paragraphs. Or even with the Bible, same thing. Just read a couple of more verses, and you'll see how this person is so easily outed. That's what's happening again. And so, they'll use, when they do their sloppy research, they'll use the info that they find that edifies their theology or their fanaticisms, and all that they find that proves them wrong, they ignore it. And we proved it for 18 months. And it's all on the sin page. We are all tested, brothers and sisters. And just so you know, our testing not only builds up our faith, it makes it easy for us to obey unto salvation. And by the way, they're doing, and I don't know where this quote is. One of the brothers is probably going to share it here in a moment, but I'm just about done here. They're doing the same thing to us that the messenger people did. I think that's what they're called, right? Messenger people back in Ellen White's day did. I don't have the quote handy, but I recall how they attacked Sister White and the obedient flock in regards to the Review and Herald, I think. And they were they made their own. Like a Review and Herald, I think they called it the Messenger, right? And they put it out there, and it was just lying, and it was slamming everything. It was probably Jesuits attacking Sister White, right? And so it was just all this garbage. And when they did that, and I had a chuckle when I read this, she said that the subscriptions to the Review and Herald actually doubled. So, in essence, this attack is actually, and it's been like this for 40 years, this attack is actually helping us, because people take notice how obedient Christians stay on the path regardless of what others tempt them to do. And those with eyes to see know the difference between truth and error. It's just that simple. With that, I dropped the mic. I think Brother or Pastor Alvin has something he'd like to share too, because he found a quote that I said, well, you need to share that. If you
can. All right. Okay. Is my voice clear? Testing. Test.
Oh, yeah. You're good.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. I want to share this quotation. We're talking about, you know, all these self-sent messengers. It's actually written in early writings, 97. I want to post this one because it's really timely. Okay? You can also read the same statement in the Christian Experience. Okay, it says here, and now in these last days, while God is bringing His children into the unity of the faith, there is more real need of order than ever before. That's why we have a gospel order. The gospel order is the door that will keep us safe. And it is our duty to keep this door closed against the enemy's attack. So for as God unites His children, Satan and his evil angels are very busy to prevent this unity and to destroy it. That's why Satan is the god of confusion. Therefore, men are hurried into the field who lack wisdom and judgment, perhaps not ruling well their own house and not having order or government over the few that God has given them charge of a home. Okay. Yet they feel capable of having charge of the flock. They make many wrong moves. And those unacquainted with our faith judge all the messengers to be like these self-sent men. In other words, these self-sent men, it's like they are giving a wrong impression to the unbelievers that, okay, since they are connected with this church, they are what? They are to be trusted. But what the next statement says, thus the cause of God is reproached, and the truth shunned by many unbelievers who would otherwise be candid and anxiously inquire, are these things so? And then the next paragraph, it says here, I'll just post it, but you can read the whole statement in Early Writings 97-99. Okay, I'll just highlight the portion. Okay, so I'm not gonna read everything, but just the portion. Men whose lives are not holy and who are unqualified to teach the present truth enter the field without being acknowledged by the church or the brethren generally, and confusion and disunion are the result. That's why the ministry actually, we learn about this one because we allow this brethren to speak during the study and giving sermon, which actually should not been happen. That's why we really apologize to everyone, and we ask the Lord for forgiveness by allowing this thing. Because some, as we continue, some have a theory of the truth and can present the argument, but lack spirituality, judgment, and experience. They fail in many things which it is very necessary for them to understand before they can teach the truth. So it doesn't mean that you speak very well, you know, in the pulpit. Okay, that's enough. It's not enough that you can quote the scripture or the spirit of prophecy very well. It's not a guarantee. You can do sermon, you know, that's not enough. And then others have not the argument, but because a few brethren hear them pray well and give an exciting exhortation now and then, they are pressed into the field to engage in a work for which God has not qualified them and for which they have not sufficient experience and judgment. So experience is not learned in a moment. It takes a lot of years. And judgment, that's why spiritual pride comes in. They are lifted up and up under the deception of thinking that they are laborers. They do not know themselves, and they lack sound judgment and patient reasoning, talk boastingly of themselves, and assert many things which they cannot prove from the Word. God knows this. Therefore, He does not call such to labor in these perilous times. And brethren, should be careful not to push those out into the field whom He has not called. Okay? And,
I got something I want to...
Okay. Just continue there, but while I'm looking on that quotation. Yeah.
Okay, you got some more to share, though?
Yes.
Okay, good. I just wanted to apologize to everybody because I take the blame for this. All that's happened with Sean and the UK guys, I take full responsibility and blame because after my son Luke died, it hit me hard. And to the point the stress got to me. And I saw numbers that I never thought were possible to survive when it came to blood pressure and sugar and all. I mean, the stress was bad. So I literally just called Brother Eli. I says, I'm stepping back. I got to kick back. I got to get my health back. I got to get back to. And I just went into prayer for months, a couple of months. I don't know how long it was I was off, but that allowed for Sean and the UK guys to share sermons. I mean, it's one thing to chime in, bring a special announcement like this, or to chime in during fellowship or something like that, but to do an actual study or a sermon, that should never have been allowed. That none of those men were ordained, and none of them were ready. And their fruit today proves they were not ready. We learned our lesson. And so this is how we grow. This is how I've always done it. I learned by example. And so when I saw with Craig, we were very, very, very serious and careful on how we ordain pastors or deacons, and then letting somebody step on a pulpit, because I got that from Pastor Russ over the years. He let anybody on a pulpit on Sunday nights only. And so that wasn't really a church service, but I looked at it as such. And I liked that because it allowed me to get on the pulpit for the first time in my life. But we should never have allowed that. That's not biblical jurisprudence. It's my fault. It's I don't blame Alvin because I don't think, were you, well, you were a pastor at that time, but I don't know if you were here at the time. So thank you. Thank you, everybody. And so we needed help. And so Eli and Alvin stepped up, and then the other guys. And they are articulate, you know. But, again, like Alvin would say, that's not enough to be able to quote scriptures. That's not enough. You got to be called. You got to have that life, like she was saying earlier in that other quote, you got to have a long-term experience. None of these men have that. That's why they're so confused. And that's why they're doing what they're doing. And if anybody follows their lead, they're just going to be in that ball of confusion with them, and keep them in your prayers, because there's nothing else we can do for people like that. And so, yeah, amen. Thanks, Sister Danny. And so, and thank you all, because I wasn't even thinking straight at the time, but I'm not making any excuses, no. I got sick, I asked for help, and I messed up. And so, thank you, everybody. And so I'll drop the mic so that Pastor Alvin can finish.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. The Lord allowed that to happen so that He will see what's in our heart. So let me continue the quotation in page 98. As I've said, you can go back and read this for yourself, because it's really timely. It says here, I'm not sure if it is posted. Okay. It's in 98, early writings 98. It's not showing yet, but I'm not sure. Okay, I'm sorry. In my screen, it doesn't show, but let me go. Those men who are not called of God are generally the very ones that are the most confident that they are so called and that their labors are very important. They go into the field and do not generally exert a good influence, yet in some places they have a measure of success. And this leads them and others to think that they are surely called of God. It is not a positive evidence. It says here, it is not a positive evidence that men are called of God because they have some success. For angels of God are now moving upon the hearts of His honest children to enlighten their understanding as to the present truth, that they may lay hold upon it and live. And even if self-sent men put themselves where God does not put them and profess to be teachers, and souls receive the truth by hearing them talk, it is no evidence that they are called of God. In fact, the following paragraph, it says here, it says here, these self-sent messengers are a curse to the cause. See, it's a curse. So that's why we have an unpleasant duty to do. It's really hard because, you know, we are in this position. Yes, we are all brethren, you know, but our responsibility has difference. Okay, as an ordained minister of God, the responsibility is more than the ordinary church member. So, again, it is our unpleasant duty to tell you all this. Okay? And giving you a warning, especially on these self-sent messengers who are now claiming, you know, they can already receive donations and asking people to support them. Okay? It is a shame because a true minister of God will not, and they will not ask for any donation. The Lord knows the need of this obedient servant. He will provide what he need, what they need. So it is really a shame if you will hear this to the people, to these people who are asking for donation. Okay. So anyway, aside from that, I wanna give you some side bit of information because this is very important in connection with the blog entry of Pastor Nick, the last blog when he exposed the spirit of prophecy was edited by the General Conference. We are not talking about those who left us or what. We are just giving the evidence. Now, if you will go and look in the spirit of prophecy, okay, I actually have the CD and also I have the three books you called Spirit of Prophecy Library. I own that. So from there I started. Okay. Now, if you will notice in this book, in Selected Messages, page 122, volume 3, it on the chapter comments while at work on the conflict series books. Okay? So the conflict series books are the Desire of Ages, Acts of the Apostles, Great Controversy 1888 and 1891. Okay? And Patriarchs and Prophets, like that. So what he was saying about this, it says here, book sought giving order of events. Well, my dear Willie and Edson and Emma, let us draw very nigh to God. Okay? Let us live daily as we would wish we had lived when the judgment shall sit and the book shall be opened and when everyone will be rewarded according to his work. Tell Mary to find me some histories of the Bible that would give me the order of events. Now, note there is a comment on the of the compilers. Definitely, this is the SDA leadership. It's, they said, in the preparation of the Desire of Ages, such works were used in determining the order of events. On this point, Marion Davis, writing to the manager of the Pacific Press, stated on November 23, 1896, in the order of chapters, we followed Andrews. Who is this Andrews? He said, Andrews' harmony as given in his Life of Christ. He is generally regarded as the very best authority. I want to highlight that. They said that Andrews was regarded as the very best authority and is quoted by leading writers. We don't know who are these leading writers. But continue, we know of no better argument or arrangement than this. Samuel J. Andrews, The Life of Our Lord Upon Earth, first published in 1862. The 1891 edition was in Ellen White's library. His Harmony of the Gospels, appears on pages 22 and 27. I have nothing, and then end quote of the compilers. And then goes on, I have nothing and can find nothing in the library here. Basel, Switzerland. Okay. Now, who is Samuel J. Andrews? If you search on his name, this is you can find Samuel. You know, to make the statement short, Samuel James Andrew was a Catholic theologian, clergy. He in 1856 he became the pastor of the Catholic and Apostolic Church at Hartford, Connecticut. So his published book, The Life of Our Lord Upon Earth, was used in preparing The Desire of Ages, which was what? Prepared by Marian Davis. That's why, dear brothers and sisters, you will find a lot of Catholic, you know, the publishing of The Desire of Ages, there's a lot of Catholic pictures, and not only that, statement. Like, for example, the one when Jesus comes the second time, he gonna step in the Mount of Olives. Okay? And who is the author of that book? It's Joseph Wolff. Wolff is also a Catholic. And not only that, is there any even one heretical statement that was that we can find in the edited or tampered Spirit of Prophecy? Yes, we do. Not only once, but we have more. That's why that book, Reviving the Spirit of Prophecy, the original Spirit of Prophecy, we recommend you read that, and you will find a lot of information. And after you read it, you know, use your brain, as Pastor Nick said. Use your brain. There's a lot of evidence in there. Okay? So, again, we all know that all this Spirit of Prophecy has been edited and changed by the Committee of Five, yes? In fact, if you were gonna go back to the history in 1867, okay, I'll just read it. I'll just say it in the year 1867, just note it in 1578. Sister White saw in vision that the SDA Church become a Catholic, and they confiscated the goods representing the writings of Ellen G. White because they speak against the holy order of the Catholic Church. And when Brother White, Sister James White, died in 1881, the year that followed in 1883, the Committee of Five changed the testimonies. Okay? It's all documented. That's why, dear brothers and sisters, we can find this one, okay, in 3SM 50, verse 4, or paragraph 4, I mean. It says here, letter B, The Conflict of the Ages books. Sister White is not the originator of this book. See? Why? Because they knew that they have edited the original writings. There are contradictions that we can find, and we can gather as many statements as possible to support that these books bearing her name is what? are written by Sister White, but by using, you know, your judgment, discernment from God, are we based from what? The evidence. If anything contradicts the Bible, it is undoubtedly not from God, but rather from uninspired sources. Right? So, I think we have given enough evidence on that. You just give time to read the Reviving of the Spirit of Prophecy booklet in the PDF form, so you will find more information about it. That's all I want to add, Pastor Nick.
Okay, something else, but thanks, brother. That was a blessing to hear. Brother Anthony has something he wants to share as well, but everybody has to keep in mind, and we saw this with Craig, the reason, because Craig made a video and took Vern Bates completely out of context, and then some guy made another video and put it all back into context. It was perfect, but then the devil caused that guy to lose his account on YouTube before we can download the video that proved Craig was lying about what Vern Bates was saying. And that's where they hang their hat. They're going after Vern Bates because he's dead. He can't respond because they don't want anybody reading his studies because it proves they're wrong. And so they have to belittle his character, soil his character, slander him like they're doing to us to try to make it look like listen to them instead. But do your homework. You know where your Bible is, and you know where an unedited book from Sister White is. And again, like I said earlier, just use your brain. That's all you got to do. God gave you a brain. You may as well use it. So, is E.J. Wagner's father. Okay, thanks. So, yeah, J.H. I always, I think we could trust E.J., right? It's the J.A., the J.H. guy, we can't, because I hardly ever seen him. But yeah, Brother Anthony has something he wants to share as well. But then I have a couple of things that Eli sent me. And I think Joe's going to be putting something in the room as well. But I want Anthony to chime in because it you know, he's been waiting. So I'm going to drop the mic.
Can everyone hear me?
Yep, loud and clear.
Sweet. All right, well, first and foremost, happy for the family. I hope that everyone's doing very well. Hope that everyone's been blessed today by everything that the Lord has been laying upon our spiritual tables. There's a couple things I wanted to share. I mean, it's not really detailed like Pastor Alvin's soapbox, if I should say. it wasn't detailed like Pastor Alvin's time on the mic when he shared what he shared from selected messages. But there's a couple things I wanted to share. For one, I just want to make something clear is that where. Because I've gotten told before, oh, you're one of the elders of the church. I want to make it clear, I am not an elder. I'm not an elder. I'm not as experienced as a lot of the older brethren are who have had an experience in the messages. And so for that one particular brother, you know who you are. I just want to make that clear. I'm only sharing what I know based on my studies. And plus, me and Danny were both Seventh-day Adventists. So we saw the apostasy with our very own eyes. And so if they could apostate the way that they did, what makes us think that they can't change the books as well? And so with that in mind, there's two things that I wanted to share. First and foremost, I know the Conflict of the Ages series, it consists of Patriarchs and Prophets, Prophets and Kings, The Desire of Ages, The Acts of the Apostles, and the 1888 and 1911 Great Controversy. Now I want to talk specifically about the Desire of Ages because I have something on hand that that goes with that, and plus that was the fastest thing that I could find. Now I would have to find it and then post it in the room, but I don't have it on hand on my computer, but I have the book itself where I can read it from. What I wanted to read was I wanted to read something that was actually put together by Arthur White, Sister White's grandson. And Arthur White, for many years, he's Willie White's son. He was head of the estate for a number of years. I think until he passed away. And he shared something when he put together a biography about his grandmother. He included her time from 1891 to 1900 in the what's called the Australian years. It's in her biography. It's called the Australian years, and VBates.com they took portion of this and made it into a little booklet that detailed the book changes. And so that's why it's sold on VBates like that, because we know VBates is about the book changes. And so I wanted to read something from this. And like I said, you can find it in the Ellen White biography. You can find it online, and you just go to the Australian years section of the biography. It's also been known as the Lonely Years as well. There is one thing, excuse me, that he did share that when it came to the name The Desire of Ages, Sister White had originally, proposed it to be called The Life of Christ. And she proposed that it be put into two volumes. Now, of course, we know we have the Spirit of Prophecy books 2 and 3 about the life of Christ. But that's a part of the Great Controversy story. That's a part of the 4-volume series from Spirit of Prophecy books 1 through 4. But she wanted a specific work about the life of Christ. And so she proposed that it be called The Life of Christ and to be put into 2 volumes. Let me go something real quick. Bear with me. Here's what it says here in Arthur White's biography about his grandmother. It says, as the work progressed and the manuscript grew, the staff working at Sunnyside, which is the name of the home that Ella White stayed in, she called it Sunnyside. That was the home she stayed at in Australia. It says, as the work progressed and the manuscript grew, the staff working at Sunnyside proposed issuing 2 volumes of about 600 pages each. W.C. White, which is Willie White, felt that if this plan met the approval of the publishers, the materials for the first volume would be ready in March or April of 1896. Assuming this would be done, Ellen White was reading the manuscript for the first volume, and it's dated Letter 90, 1896, and in writing to Edson on February 16, 1896, she indicated that we now have it about ready for the printer. At Korenberg, or Letter 144, 1896, at Korenberg, they were in the midst of the Bible Institute, and Ellen White jotted in her diary on February 18th, in the afternoon, Brother and Sister Prescott came. We had a good visit with Sister Prescott. Brother Prescott was with Marion in the interest of the book, Life of Christ. He is reading it for it, for it is the last reading before publication. So, Marion, in case anybody wants to know who Marion is, Marion Davis, she was known as Sister White's bookkeeper, and she is responsible for The Desire of Ages. And as far as the 2 volumes is concerned, it did not come about to become 2 volumes. They ended up making 1 giant volume, which we know is The Desire of Ages, and The Desire of Ages is over 800 pages long. Now, as far as the name The Desire of Ages, the church did not accept that name, The Life of Christ, that Ellen White had initially put forth. So this is what it says about The Desire of Ages, the decision of the title. It says, up to this point, the project had been referred to as The Life of Christ, and it was assumed that this would be that would be the title, with possible exceptions of the Great Controversy and Testimonies. Ellen White did not select the titles for her books. And see, just real quickly, the fact that she did not select the title for books, that shows if she didn't make the selection for the title, then of course they can do whatever they want to the book itself and then give it a name. But anyway, it says, as the time approached when a final decision on the title had to be made, suggestions came from various ones in Australia and America. Writing to C.H. Jones, manager of the Pacific Press, on October 22nd, W.C. White said, "As regards to the title, I do not wish to say much till I have the criticism of others. Some he felt were 100 miles nearer being appropriate than the best of the others that had been recommended to us. He promised to send a cable after consulting the wise men here and have Mother's opinion and that of Sister Davis," speaking of Marion Davis. "The suggestion of the publishers narrowed it down to the desire of all nations and the desire of ages, both based on Haggai 2, verse 7, the desire of all nations shall come." And it just goes on from there. But the point is that Sister White's original name for the series, it's simple, direct and to the point, The Life of Christ, because that's what it was about. But no, the church did not want that. They wanted another name. And of course, they got the desire of ages from that. And so with that being said, that's proof right there that Ellen White did not have She did not have influence over the book. That's just one proof right there. And secondly, how we know that she didn't have proof, that she didn't have influence over the desire of ages is that she had selected the name for the Great Controversy series. That was her selection for the name. But other works that have been tampered, no, she did not have influence over that. So somebody was at work to do something devious. Now, the last thing I wanted to talk about is that there are so many letters out there that speak of the Conflict of the Ages series with such high regard as favorable and that they should be published, they should be distributed to every home. Although it looks very convincing, it looks very, very, very convincing that she had said those things, we have to remember that there are letters that were forged and Ellen White's name was put on it. As a matter of fact, Brother Vern Bates shared in one tape that he has found letters to where what they did was they took Ellen White's signature from another work and what they did is they would cut it out and they would paste it onto a new work and then say Ellen White wrote it. So it's plausible to say that very thing happened with all these letters that uphold the Conflict of the Ages series in such high regard. And now, with the many convincing letters out there that speak so favorably about these books, I must implore to everybody here who may be on the fence and is trying to figure out, okay, who do I believe or where do I stand? What you should do, most importantly, is test it by the Bible. It does not matter how convincing it sounds. It does not matter if Sister White's name is penned upon it. You have to go back to the scriptures and test it for yourself. And you test it, and if it does not harmonize with what the scripture says, such as, you know, what we read in Desire of Ages in the 1888-1911 Great Controversy about Jesus standing on the Mount of Olives at his second coming. And even in the 1911 Great Controversy, it says that the righteous will be in heaven when the final judgment is made upon the world, which you already know that's not biblical. The decision is made before the reward is given to the righteous and the wicked. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that when you read in these books, when you read these things, you have to test it by the Bible. And if it does not harmonize, there's only two possible explanations. The first explanation is that Sister White is a false prophet. And the second explanation is that she's a bona fide prophet of God, but she had no inspiration over that book. Somebody else had their hand on it. There's only two possible explanations. She's either a false prophet or she did not write that book. Now, we in this church family can all agree that Sister White is a bona fide prophet of God. She passes all the tests of a biblical prophet. So what are we left to conclude? We are left to conclude that she did not write that book or these other books that that are in her name. And one thing that I did find interesting is that for those who are saying that these books are safe, that Ellen White endorsed them, and that there's been no evidence of document tampering, nothing of the sort. What I find very interesting is that there is one statement in The Desire of Ages that has never been addressed, at least to my understanding. It has never been addressed, and because if it is addressed, it'll shut down their argument. And that is the quotation on page 568, where it says that Jesus stands before the altar of incense. The church family did a study on the sanctuary a few years ago. And I'm asking a rhetorical question here. And everyone, of course, you know, you can answer it on your own time and think about it. When did Jesus go into the most holy place? 1844. What's in the most holy place? The Ark of the Covenant. And Jesus has that. He has the censer in his hand, which brings about the smoke out of it, which represents the prayers of the saints, according to Revelation. So the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat is in the most holy place. Where's the altar of incense? It is not in the most holy place. Now, this book was published in 1898, The Desire of Ages I'm speaking of. So why would she say that Jesus is somewhere in the sanctuary where he hasn't been since 1844? If you know prophecy, if you know the sanctuary, you know that Jesus is not at the altar of incense. And so that particular statement has not been addressed by these individuals. Because again, if it was, the argument would fall flat in its face and you would have to drop it completely. So I implore everybody, again, for those who are not sure and don't know what to believe, read everything that you see and hear from these people and test it by the Bible. And if you accept Ellen White as a prophet of God, the only conclusion you can come up with is that she did not write that book. And all the document tampering that they say there's no proof of, Brother Vern Bates did all the work, and he put it in that document that's been study document that was posted here in the church room. And there is actually more evidence of the work being changed, and I'll say this, and then I'm going to drop the mic because I pretty much exhausted myself, is that I forget what page it's on because I've read the document. I forget what page it's on, but you will find in the book Testimonies to Ministers and Gospel Workers, there is a statement in there that the church says was written in 1901. Yet what Brother Vern Bates did is he showed that statement. He broke it down I think by paragraph, if I understand correctly. And he showed that the statements that were said to have been written in 1901 were written at different times in different works, but they all claimed that one statement was said by her right then and there. So if they can do that with testimonies to ministers and gospel workers, and you're going to see it and be shocked, if they can do that with testimonies to ministers and gospel workers, which was published in 1923 after her death, what makes us think they can't do it? That type of work with The Desire of Ages, Patriarchs and Prophets, and the rest of the Conflict of the Ages series. You have to think for yourself, and you have to test it all by the scripture. So that's my argument, and I'm going to drop the mic.
Amen, brother. The only thing I would reiterate is the only ones that need to read what they said, you know, the ones that have fallen off the path, are the ones that have already done so without realizing they shouldn't have. Because Matthew 18 is clear. We can't even entertain anything that they would have to say. We're going to treat them like the heathen and the publican. They have no understanding of scripture, doctrine, prophecy, anything. When you deny Christ and you are cast out of the church, doesn't matter what you say, what you preach. That's why I don't watch their videos, don't read their sermons, their studies, or nothing. Because it'll tempt me to respond and debate this sin. And so, but I want to share something here that let's see here. This is from Gospel Workers 92, page 92. Gospel Workers 92, page 136, paragraph 1. It says, young men, let me put it in the room here. It's better yet. Okay. It says, young men who have never made a success in the temporal duties of life will be equally unprepared to engage in the higher duties. I could actually end it there. And that's usually how it happens. The ones that come against us, they're always young. And there have been some older folks that have come against us, but they were already set in their ways and their fruits were bad to begin with. And they never were part of our number. And so, but she goes on to say that a religious experience is attained only through conflict, through disappointment, through severe discipline of self, through earnest prayer. Living faith must grasp the promises unflinchingly. And then many may come from a close communion with God with shining faces saying, as did Jacob, I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. That was Genesis 32:30. So, I have no idea who Brian Tyler is. No clue. And I look on a regular basis online looking for people that preach like we do and hopefully talk to them. But so far, 100% of them, there's one little, and then I share with them the problem, and they'll either delete me or ignore me, But everything we're seeing here that happened with Sister White while she was alive, and then after she died, it got even worse. The things that we saw, Vern Bates was attacked on a regular basis while he was alive, and he chose never to respond because he knows truth will take care of itself. Oh, thanks, Joe. And I'll be reading that in a moment here. That was Vern and Sister White, obviously. Deuteronomy 31:27. You got your Bible, just write it down. It says, this has happened before. Satan doesn't change his attack. It says, for I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. And how much more after my death? Because after Sister White died, they went full, they just went gonzo. They just went after everything that they could because now she couldn't rebuke them. There was no longer a witness for God in that church. I mean, there was no witness of God from 1888 forward anyway. And that's another thing, these people that have no experience in walking with the Lord who claim to be leaders. Yeah. And some of them will say, well, if it was all that bad, why didn't she leave the church? Well, for the same reason Jeremiah never left the city. Well, it was an apostasy. Ezekiel went out and took everybody with him, but Jeremiah stayed there to warn him, just like Ellen White stayed there to warn him. She had a duty. She was a prophet. So they could twist her and manipulate her out of context all they want, but it's not going to change it. And so, but yeah, Brother Joe just put in a room here from Original Testimony 13, pages 12 to 14. It says, that night I dreamed I was in Battle Creek, looking out from the side glass at the door and saw a company marching up to the house, two and two. Man, these dreams. That reminds me of something, but I have to look at my own praise list to make sure it's the same stuff. But they looked stern and determined. I knew them well, and turned to open the parlor door to receive them, but thought I would look again. The scene was changed. Oh, wow. I've never seen this one before. She says the appearance now presented was like a Catholic profession. One of the company bore in his hand a cross. Another had a reed, like they do with the Palm Sunday reeds. And as they neared the house, the one carrying a reed made a circle around the house, saying, three times this house is proscribed. The goods must be confiscated. They have spoken against our holy order. Terror seized me, and I ran through the house out of the north door and found myself in the midst of a company, some of whom I knew, but I dared not speak a word with them for fear of being betrayed. I tried to seek a retired spot where I might weep and pray without meeting eager, inquisitive eyes everywhere. I turned. I repeated frequently, if I could only understand this. If they will tell me what I have said or what I have done, they will tell me what I have said or what I have done, like wrong. And so she said, I wept and prayed, much as I saw our goods being confiscated. I tried to read sympathy or pity for me in the looks of those around me, like if anybody cared what was going on. She looked at their faces, and they did. And marked several countenances of those whom I thought would speak with me and comfort me if they did not fear that they would be observed by others. I made one attempt to escape from the crowd, but I saw that I was watched, and I concealed my intentions. Oh, that's another one. I commenced weeping aloud and saying, if they would only tell me what I have done or what I have said. My husband, who was sleeping in a bed in the same room, heard me weeping aloud and awoke me. I found my pillow wet with tears and a sad depression of spirits upon me. And then note, 1867, by the way, note, the goods confiscated would not be the personal belongings of elders. Oh, yeah, amen. They would represent the truth-filled writings of James and Ellen White. Because that's what really concerns a prophet, is her life's work. And that's what they were going after. Wow. Yeah. And then Neil C. Wilson, yeah, literally said there's another, well, here, I'll read the exact quote. I'll go to SDA Apostasy. Yeah, I'll do it in the stream, so, because there's a bunch of people. Praise God, everybody stuck around. All right, let me see. Let me go to the browser here on the stream. It's black screen now because I've got to turn it on. There it goes. And go to my main site and then go to the links. Go down to SDA Apostasy. Sorry, but my server's slow until we get the 4G. All right, let's see. I'm just going to look for a picture, okay, of, well, there's Bert Beach giving, you know, shaking hands with the ball. Here it is. Right there on your screen. I'll read both. Because this is where, the people that have left our number are headed. They are, if they don't repent, and really repent, I mean, getting the Bible daily, fasting and praying, and because what they did now is, oh, especially denying Christ in Matthew 18, they have done something that is extremely deadly to their souls, and they don't even have a clue. It says on screen, and it's from a court transcript, this first one. Employment opportunities. Is this from a court transcript, United States against the SDA Church? From the equal opportunity employment thing or whatever. He said, although it is true that there was a period in the life of the Seventh-day Adventist Church when the denomination took a distinctly anti-Roman Catholic viewpoint, that attitude on the church's part was nothing more than a manifestation of widespread anti-popery among conservative Protestant denominations in the early part of this century and the latter part of the last, which has now been consigned to the historical trash heap so far as Seventh-day Adventist Church is concerned. So he just called Ellen White a liar, William Miller a liar, and everybody, Luther a liar, Everybody that exposed the Pope are now liars because Neil C. Wilson says so. And it's all in the historical trash heap. And guess what? His son, Ted Wilson, is now the president. He says there are no son-in-laws in the pipeline. Even though we got thousands of articles and videos proving it, thousands. And this next one, he said this in the Adventist Review on March 5th, 1981, on page 3. Neil C. Wilson, he was the president of the SDA Church, of course. And Sister, I got to find that quote, you know, where she says there should never be a president of the church. But anyway, he says there is another universal and truly Catholic organization, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. They're just saying out in the open. Just like when they tie it to the Pope. Now, that they'll do behind closed doors, but if you go to the Roman SDA page here, look at the back. This is the back cover of the Pacific Union Recorder on December 5th. Oh, that was my dad's birthday. December 5th, 1988. That's the back page. What can Adventists learn from the Catholics? Nothing. But, you know, whatever. But, yeah, on this page, I have it broken down in many. I mean, this is a huge page. The Roman Catholic Church says one thing in their writings. SDA Church says the same thing, sometimes word for word. They even admit they had a hierarchical variety in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I made a video about that, and that is the only SDA video that I had that I made, and I get, you know, tens of thousands of views on each of them, but this one video about the hierarchical structure got over 100,000 views. The SDAs, they know what they're looking at. Hopefully they left. But yeah, you just go down the list. Like this one here, the first one here is the SDA's church operates under a hierarchy, and they have clergy, or, you know, from, they separate clergy from the laity, like convents, you know, like a cloistered nun. Highest church leader is termed supreme, or the first pastor or minister, yeah, like the president of the SDA church or the Pope of Rome. And it just keeps going on. I mean, the Seventh-day Adventist Church is a Roman Catholic Church, and if anybody thinks I'm lying, just go to this page. It's just so, just go to sdaapostasy.org and click the link that says Roman SDA Church, and you'll be here for a while. I made a video about this, but I didn't use all the quotes because I don't like making long videos. It just takes too long. So I'm kind of in a hurry sometimes, you know, but yeah, that's all of it right there. And there's more stuff on the bottom, of course, in regards to the dangers of this church and those that are embracing their name now, as those that left our church recently. They call themselves SDA now, just like many that left before them, because when you do that, you have a bigger audience. That's what they're going for. They're going for the money. Proof, they're asking for donations. I have no doubt they'll go for a 501c3 if they can get it, because they believe the 501c3 is what I'm sharing it and we're sharing in regards to what the Bible says about it. And, you know, they're saying it's false. We're wrong. So I wonder if they're going to get a 501c3 or 501c4 like Andrew Henriquez, or like Doug Bash, who's got three 501c3s. Or, I mean, it's just, you know. Anywho, I'm looking at the clock, and I'm thinking we covered just about every base we can. Should have taken notes on this. I can always transcribe it. I have this account with this online company where I can transcribe my videos, because I never made scripts for most of the videos. I never kept scripts, if you will. And I'd like to make pages, because I'm sure those pages, you know, those YouTube videos are going to be yanked. And so I'd like to make pages about all in all. But that's over 750 videos, and so kind of thinking I need help. So, but, you know, only one man here. There's not much I can do. I can do a lot because I work faster because I use a lot of computers. Otherwise, I'd be sitting here with a hammer and chisel, you know, carving out my sermons on stone. So, why don't we end in prayer? This was a blessed gathering, I believe. You know, some of the brethren had to hear what was being said. Don't worry if you have gone to their videos and stuff and you didn't know it was wrong to do. You're not held accountable because the Lord winks at your times of ignorance. As a matter of fact, I'll read you this verse that proves that. It's two of them, actually, but I'm just going to read the one. Okay, let's get in my notes. Let's look for a wink. There it is. There's two of them, Acts 17:30 and 1 Timothy 1:13. But I like Acts 17:30 because the way he says it here, he says, and the times of this ignorance God winked at. So you're not held accountable if you don't know it's sin, right? But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And so now you know it's wrong to go to their websites, read their stuff, watch their videos. It's wrong. So now if you do it, you're in sin, and you would have to confess that sin. But yeah, it's just, but if you've already gone there and you got some of the stuff, and if you want to be convinced, even though Matthew 18 says you came and you shouldn't have anything to do with them, they're heathens, they're publicans, you know, we can help you there. But the thing is, like we were saying earlier, anybody can get their hands on the edited books. Most people have them because they didn't know. Just get the original books. And they have the original book open to a specific page and have the edited one. Or read that study that Vern Bates did. And again, they're attacking Vern because of the work he did. Like with that one video that Craig twisted out of context, his statements. So as to say, oh, well, if he says something like that, I want nothing to do with Vern. And so they don't look at any of the studies. And it worked. Satan got him. But yeah, look at this study. Any of you that Vern Bates messed up here or there? We all do. I don't know how many times that I had to correct myself on a pulpit. But those studies have been verified and read by many. And they do expose those edited books. That's why he was kicked out of the church. And that's why Vance Farrell, who, by the way, is now being uplifted. Someone told me that they're also promoting Vance Farrell. As if he's a God on earth or something, like he's got all the answers or something. I don't know. I might be wrong. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. But Vern tried to offer the olive branch because years and years ago when Vern was young and he was handing out the original books by photocopying them, this is before vbates.com or anything, he got kicked out of the church. He walked into the church with his family one day and he says, you and your books are not welcome here. And they kicked him out. So he did home church from that day forward. That was decades and decades ago. And then he tried, and then there was a bunch of Vance Farrell was slandering him left and right, and they had a little misunderstanding. And so he contacted, he found out he was in an area where Vance actually lived, and he wanted to go and offer the olive branch and just say, hey, everything's forgiven. Everything's great. And when Vance opened the door, saw his face, slammed the door in his face. So is that Christ-like? You know. But this is the man they're uplifting, and they're slandering the man that actually did a blessed work. So, anyway, yeah, let's finish in prayer. Right. Please bow your hearts. I don't know if there's anybody else we're going to share anything. I don't think so. Anyway, please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us as we did this. It's a hard duty to do. It's hard to hear. It's hard to say. But we ought to obey you rather than men. And so we will do our ordained duty and share it with the flock that we love dearly. Thank you for giving us this duty. Thank you for giving us this truth and this discernment and this desires deep, deep, deep in our hearts that, yeah, we will obey you and glorify you. And as Ephesians 5:11 says, we'll rebuke those that should be rebuked, or even 1 Timothy 5. And so thank you, Father, for blessing us with that courage, too, because a lot of people are afraid of confrontation or something. And so thank you. Thank you for blessing those that are present here today, everyone that heard this. And even those that aren't part of our number that heard this, hopefully they get blessed too and understand the love that was behind all this. We don't do this and share all this to join in a debate with those that have denied your son as Savior. We don't do that because that's what they have openly done. All of them have done it now. We have it by your scripture. They have all denied your Son as Savior. And the Holy Spirit is guide. We do this to protect the church family. That's why Paul wrote the epistles. That's why everybody. And Paul was a preacher unto our day, preacher unto the Gentiles. Because just about everybody out there is Roman Catholic now. They don't even know it, including the SDAs. So thank you for this time that we had with you, this additional time that you blessed us with in this fellowship. And please continue to bless us in this week ahead, and especially tonight when we gather for prayer and study. And again, to the best of our ability, we're still working on this, Father. As you know, we're all sinful and not worthy, but we're trying. We're trusting you, your Son, and the Holy Spirit to guide us and keep us so that when that rain falls, we'll be blessed and we'll go forth and do what you would have us do. And this is all done in the name of your Son, our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. I got to get out of this room. It's like an oven in here. I just got that one little air conditioning vent over there, and it just don't seem to do it. So before I turn into a giant Nick puddle, I'm going to go off and get me something to eat, too, because it's already past 4. So thanks, everybody, for sticking around. And don't forget, tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern time, we have the in the prayer and the study. Yeah, prayer again is like 8 to 10 minutes, and the study, yeah, it's usually an hour, something like that. And we're always blessed every single time, even if we have to just go through one paragraph for the whole hour, because we like chewing on our food. So anyway, those of you that are on the stream, God bless. We'll see you next week, Friday. Yeah, Friday night, and then Saturday, obviously. So love you. Sabbath blessings. We'll see you. We'll see you soon. God bless. Okay, everybody on WTPR, get ready for that party music, which will change at about, hopefully around, well, it could be any time. Joe, if you wanted to come in at 6 and change the music, that's fine with me, because we're cruising over to Alvin's house today, and so it'd be nice to have it running before we leave. That way we don't have to, you know, hurry. So those that are listening on WTPR, I'm gonna double click the bandwidth, by the way. So if you want to hear the pretty music, just refresh your screen after I do this, because I'm gonna double click the streamer to stop. No, I'm gonna leave it now that I'm looking. Yeah, it's the numbers that are backlogged. It's not the bandwidth. The bandwidth is still good. Yeah, because we're only at about 17 meg going out, which means, a lot of people, a couple of hundred families. So anyway, okay, thanks, Joe. Thank you so much. And so, what you're going to be hearing now is some harp music that I play all week. Same stuff I play when I'm out in midday prayer. I found another one just recently, too. It's about the same length, but it's quite a few different songs. And so I might add that to the playlist, because I got a few in here, a bunch. So God bless everybody. We'll see you tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern. Love you. Sabbath blessings.